But this was not a place to live. In fact, we had no place to live where we were now. I did not know exactly what he meant by that. Then he explained that it was usual for someone to be offered a house and a place to lie down when they entered the afterlife. They had to rest somewhere. But there was nothing like that here. But they weren't so unkind. We had to rest from our exertions in the open air, outside the house. So they led us out, near a small forest. It was a small forest, and there we saw what were called, I think you call them bunks. I want to explain what they looked like. A bunk like this had three wheels, one at the head and two at the feet. When we were tired, we were supposed to lie down on one of these bunks. Of course, it had a solid support so that it didn't roll away on its own. You could just turn the wheels with your hands and find your own place. So it was quite practical. You could lie on this bed and look for a place and turn the wheels. But, I would say, this bed was of course only covered with ordinary wood, so it wasn't comfortable or anything, but that didn't matter to us. The main thing was that we at least had something to lie down on. We saw that no one had to lie down on the ground. As we looked around, we saw that there were many, many such bunks with wheels near this small forest. Then they explained to us which of them were free. We could mark them and they would remain our property. They also specified the place where we could set them up. They told us that we could stay together if we liked, but we could also set up somewhere off to the side and be completely alone, as we liked. And so we didn't have to carry the bunk there, but we could choose a comfortable place to lie down. I thought it was wonderful that this was made possible for us. I thought that this was a great comfort and a great consideration for us. And the fear that I might fare badly in this place gradually faded away. So I didn't think I would see any fire or torture. Of course, I would like to emphasize this too. We were only allowed to lie down on these bunks if we were expressly told, "Now is the time for you, you can lie down freely," and at the agreed signal you must leave your bunks and return to your work. So it wasn't as if you could simply lie down at any time, at any opportunity. It was already ensured that you didn't make too much use of these amenities. But then we were called back again, to the very house where the meetings were to take place. I already said, everyone got their work and I got mine. Of course I was excited, because at first I thought to myself, it's actually not quite right that you have to work in the kingdom of heaven. I thought you could just raise your hand, say a word, everything would come to you. Everything would be there, ready and waiting. But it didn't seem to be the case. Then this kind brother said to me, "Wenzel, you're coming with me now, and the others will also get their instructions." He took a spade, gave it to me and said, "Now come." He walked a path with me, and this path had already been marked out. The brother explained to me, "Look, here you have to dig a trench that is so wide and so deep. And look, the trench has to be so long." And I saw no end. Then I thought, "Oh, that's it. You're not tormented with fire, but you have to work." "Yes," said the kind brother, "we have to work too." I asked, "Why do we need these trenches here? I can't understand it." "Yes, I can see the point in doing useful work, but digging a ditch? Why do we need a ditch here?" "Yes," he answered, "we need a ditch here too. We need work like that from you too, because nothing is done for free. Because where we are now, there is to be a new village. Everything is planned and it is being built. There are all kinds of buildings and gardens, and there are small streams that have to flow through them, and everything has to be worked on." The brother was so kind, and I dared to ask. "Yes, I had imagined that heaven was ready and finished. We didn't need to build another village here." "Yes," he said, "we had to. I wouldn't understand. Heaven was so infinitely big and we would just keep planning. We would always build new things, better and more beautiful things, and I had to get involved now. Later I would be able to understand it better. It was too early now." Then he said to me, "But Wenzel, I want to tell you one thing. You have to work." And the widths and depths were measured for me and the time in which I should have completed the work was also determined. "Yes, time." We had no clocks, but I thought he had a clock hidden away, because he knew exactly when I should have reached my goal with the digging. "Yes," he said, "you have to work and you must not be idle." And he explained to me, "You see, you no longer have any physical problems. You have seen for yourself that all your pain is gone, your body no longer hurts, you are free of all pain, you are here in the spiritual body and it has no pain. Now it is time to work." "Yes, but I thought it was a bit much that I had to do. It was a wide and long ditch," and I asked, "How long is that going to take?" "That would depend on me," he replied, "on my diligence and my perseverance." "Well, I got ready to work." He said that they would give a signal, or he would send someone over, when I could get on the bunk. I started to dig and of course, soon thought I was tired, and I was already waiting. But no one came. I had the feeling that I was alone. I didn't see any of the others. The trench that I had to dig was far away from the workshops that I had seen. I suddenly had the feeling that everything was so far apart. And since I thought that no one would see me, since no one was there, I didn't take the work so seriously. I thought, "They can't expect me to dig here all the time. I have to breathe a sigh of relief. I have to look at this new environment. They have to understand that I have to make friends with everything new here first. They can't be angry with me." I was counting on my brother's kindness. He certainly wouldn't scold me if I hadn't worked so much. And furthermore, I didn't know how time went, how they calculated when I had dug through so much. In any case, I didn't make any effort at first. I couldn't. I felt like I didn't have enough strength and couldn't do it. And then I was bored. I would have much preferred company. If at least someone had been there, it would have gone a little better. We could have talked and the work would have been done faster. But all alone and abandoned. I wasn't entirely happy with that. I thought that if my kind brother came back, I would suggest that he should give me someone. Well, I put the spade down and sat down on the ground. I did what I had been used to doing in my human life. I found that it took a very long time. No one came. And then I thought, "I'm sure they've forgotten me." I looked out into these vast expanses, into these endless expanses, and thought, "I'm sure no one will come by anymore. I'm sure they've forgotten me. I must surely go back under my own steam and try to find my way again." But for the time being I rested. But then the kind brother came and looked at me. I had heard him coming, his footsteps, and saw him. So I got up and took my spade in hand and started working again. Then he didn't look at me any further, but looked at the ground and saw that I hadn't done much. Then he asked me, "Is the work too hard for you?" And I answered, "Yes, above all I find it very boring. If I had someone to talk to, I would definitely get to my goal faster." "Yes, but that's not the case," he replied, "you won't get anyone. That's your work, you have to dig the trench as wide and as deep as it is drawn." "Yes," I didn't know what to say and then asked him, "Have I now done what you asked of me?" And he answered, "No, never, you haven't done any part, you haven't done anything. Just look at the little you have done. That's nothing." Then he took the spade in his hand himself and showed me the work. I said, "I have to get used to it first, I can't do it that quickly. Maybe if I'm here long enough, it will go that quickly." He answered, "Yes, definitely, you'll learn." Then he said, "I recommend that you be a little more diligent," and he left again. That wasn't a particular reprimand. Then I thought, "Well, I've got time in that case." And I waited for the signal to withdraw. But it didn't come, and so I just carried on working comfortably, I don't know how long. There he stood again and checked my work. And he said, "I'm not happy with you, you're not working at all." "Yes, I saw it, but it wasn't my fault that things weren't moving forward." Then he said, "You have no courage, and you have no energy, and you don't even know why you're standing here and why you have to work." Then he explained to me, "Now, Wenzel, I want to tell you something. You thought from the beginning that the ditch was very wide and very long. Now that you have a set time and it's been calculated by when you have to have worked so much, and you haven't fulfilled that, The ditch is simply getting longer by the amount of time you haven't done. Through your idleness, your recklessness, you are prolonging your work for yourself, and you have to stay here much longer and dig much longer. Don't you think it would be better if you pulled yourself together and were a little more diligent? Yes, I listened. What? I asked. The ditch is getting longer. Does it really have to be longer? Yes, he answered. What is laid out for you is still not the full extent. It has to be much longer. We know our brothers and sisters who are coming, and we know that we can expect that a large amount more will be added. Yes, then I started to think a little more. I wanted to work harder, and so I rested less and worked more. And then, when my brother came back, he said, "Yes, you have made some progress now, but you still haven't achieved what you should." And I asked, "Has the trench gotten longer again?" "Yes," he said, "and the trench will keep getting longer if you don't try to work like that." Then I thought about it and thought to myself, "What kind of leadership is that? Here you are simply punished like a small child on earth." "Yes, they must know how to get to your goal." And I thought, "Yes, no, you can't stand here and dig forever. After all, I want to go back again one day. I want to see my parents and my friends." And I thought it was a shame that I had to go down there. Then suddenly I pulled myself together and started to work. I didn't rest anymore. I waited until the kind brother came back and waited for the praise. "And it was like this," he said. "That's right, you have to carry on like this, then you will still be able to finish your work. The more you do, the shorter the gap becomes." I then asked him, "When will the signal come to rest? Aren't we allowed to rest once?" "Yes, it will come if it has to. You see, life in the afterlife is not that comfortable. You can't just sleep and rest here. No, here you have to work, and that's just how it is. Those who avoided work in human life are called upon to work here, and they have to work. We teach them to work once, and then the rest comes." Suddenly a kind of siren sounded and a light came on. This was the signal. Then we could go back. I hurried to my resting place to rest there. But I didn't want to be alone. I had been alone enough, and I rolled my bunk over to someone else. Now I had to see that they didn't want me at all. The others rolled away from me. They had already had a certain amount of practice in how to do it, and I couldn't keep up with them so quickly with my bunk. It was the first time I had lain on it and I couldn't move it so well. But those who had been there for a long time had practice. You could see that. They got quickly from one place to another. So I thought, if nobody wants me, then it's fine. I'll just stay here. And I rested until the signal came again. We didn't have to go to work then, but to the house, where we received more detailed instructions. I would also like to say that we had to leave the bunk where it was and walk into the house. There he was again. The kind brother, and the other siblings were the two. He explained to us what he was not happy with and who he was not happy with, and where things were going, and so on. So, it was the same for everyone. If you had not done what you were supposed to do in the allotted time, the work had simply increased by the amount you had missed. So you got so clever that you started to do more on your own. Well, in the end I was so eager that I dug the piece out quicker than the time allowed. So I was able to catch up on the delay I had been behind. But I had to work hard and firmly. Then I remembered my wife who had stayed behind. She would certainly already be in the other world. I had not bothered with her any further, because I had enough to do with myself. And, I would like to stress this, I would have been ashamed if she had seen the work I had to do, even if she had not been taken to the same place as me. I thought to myself, "Yes, my wife will definitely not have to do this work. She was an angel, she was good, and I was not always good to her. Now she was right after all. She had always threatened me that heaven would not be so kind to me. So I did not want her to see me there, what work I was doing. And yet I was interested in whether she was still on earth or whether she had come back. I had no idea about time." Then one day I asked the kind brother who was visiting me at work again, "Can you tell me something? Can you tell me where my Bridget is?" "Yes, who is your Bridget?" he said. Yes, who is my Bridget? That was my wife. Then he said very calmly, yes, I want to ask about your wife. Yes, do that, but please don't tell her anything about what I'm doing. First bring me the news of where she is and what she's doing. Well, occasionally I was given the information. My Bridget was also in the spiritual world, and I was not called to the greeting. They did not think it necessary for me to go there. My kind brother said, you know, I can let your Bridget come here to you one day, she can greet you here. I replied, no, please don't. Tell me where she is. I would like to visit her, but she should not visit me. Then he said, yes, it is like this, you cannot visit her because she is above you, but she can visit you, she can come down to you. And that is precisely what I did not want. I said, good, I will try hard, and I wanted to know, what do I have to do when this trench is finished? Then you can leave this valley, he replied, then you no longer have to worry about what is happening here, then others will take over the work that needs to be done here. Now I worked even harder, because I wanted to finish this trench. And that's how it always went. The rare signal to rest came, and I learned to work hard. According to the kind brother's calculations, I didn't actually finish too early, but he thought that what I had accomplished was quite normal, and I thought it was outrageous how much work I had to do. He had no understanding for that. And now, yes, now, it was over, and I thought, good, I'm no longer interested in what happened. But I'm now concerned about the future. And I asked, where do you want to take me now? The kind brother answered, yes, now you can do a better job, and you can leave us. When will it be and where? Will I meet my friends and my parents now, and what will happen to me now? And we had hardly spoken to each other like that, we had had this conversation in that room, when those two who had led me to that place came back. Well, they still looked the same, they still had the same expression on their faces. With regret I thought, yes, they came down with me. They are so noble and look splendid. But I have the feeling that they are terribly proud and cold, whereas this kind brother is so loving and we have had to work hard here. But I did not look at them any closer, and I did not speak to them, and they did not speak to me. They led me back the same way and placed me again in that place and that spot where I had appeared the first moment, where, as I remembered, I had opened my eyes. And there were my parents and my friends again, and I had to find my way. Yes, I have been here for so long, and it felt as if I had only just arrived. I had no idea of time. At that moment, when I looked around, I saw again these small groups of beautiful angel figures, in whom I had confidence, and thought, now they will definitely take care of me. And so it was. The other two put me down and went away, and I was happy. Then some of these kind, beautiful spirits came up to me and said, yes, dear brother, you experienced the great goodness and mercy of God during the time of your purification. Yes, I knew it, because, I forgot to say this, we had sometimes prayed during that hard work. We all knew, and I knew it too. Here you are subject to the rule of God, and you must honor him. And then, as soon as I thought a day or a night was over, I said my prayers. I asked God to forgive me for the wrongs I had done. But I had the feeling that my prayer was not being heard. Nevertheless, I thought, it is much better if I pray, and so I always prayed at regular intervals. And now this beautiful angel said to me, by the grace of God. So I thought to myself, yes, I went through purification, I had to work hard. I was not beaten, I was not tormented or anything like that, but I had to work, I had to. Then I asked, have I now made amends for some of my sins? They answered, yes, you have already made amends for a small part. They took me by the hand and led me down another path. And we came to a place again. I had the feeling it was a small village. Here were low but long houses, and I was led into one. There was a lot of activity here, people were working in workshops. So in this world I definitely didn't have to use my spade anymore. And then, I would like to say, the higher we had climbed, how brighter it had become. It was as bright as day again around me, everything was in its clear, distinct, beautiful colors. It was a beautiful world. I had the feeling, this is real heaven, this is something wonderful. Then I thought, you just have to work here, it doesn't work without work. Yes, they confirmed, it doesn't work without work. And then they led me into a workshop. They worked with wood there. There were many kinds of wood, as they explained to me, all kinds of wood. I couldn't keep up with my thinking as they explained to me what this and that wood was used for and so on. It had come to me too quickly. Then I saw some of them carefully cutting out the wood by hand with an instrument and carving figures and making all kinds of things. I was told, this is your future work. But before you start working, we want to lead you into a large room, and there you will see that everything your siblings now make by hand is first drawn and precisely calculated. The exact dimensions are calculated so that everything that is now being worked on has its harmonious line. The work is not done at random, but precisely according to plan. And so they showed me this large room. There I saw these many brothers and sisters who were drawing, who were making wonderful drawings. I saw how they were drawing individual, precious wagon wheels with all kinds of figures in them. I also saw the designs for large sculptures and everything that can be made with wood, for example, baskets, bowls and entire wall paintings, everything possible. Yes, I would say that they saw the most diverse work, from the simplest to the most admirable. And so I was actually amazed at the precise calculation that was the basis for everything. It was a new world for me, and I thought, I might actually like that. I could also be taught how to do these things. And they confirmed this to me, you have to learn it, you can't do it yet. We will take you to a workplace, and that you will perhaps one day make, let's say, a spoke for a wheel. And if you can do this well, you will be taught further. If we then recognize certain abilities, then you can do better things and you can do beautiful work. As we walked through this room, who did I see drawing at a table? Yes, at a table. You shouldn't think that you can draw in the air, but you have a surface and you draw your ideas, you draw the dimensions, you calculate. Yes, there I saw Bridget. So we saw each other for the first time in the afterlife. We were allowed to greet each other, yes. We were informed, me from my side and Bridget from friends, that she could now leave her work a little and concentrate on me. She was allowed to speak to me, accompany me, and even tell me about the work. First of all, she told me that she had been here for quite a long time, that she had not lived that long after I left the earth, and that when she arrived in the world beyond, she had been told that she was not allowed to come to me. We would only be united once Wenzel's work, my work, had been completed. Now we both had enough opportunity to talk things out, and so we walked through this large hall together. Bridget knew the work well, she led me away from the drawing and into the workshop and was able to explain everything to me carefully, what this and that was needed for. She said that the beings were very happy here and that she had always prayed for me so that I could do my work bravely and be obedient. She had always thought of me and always prayed for me, and now she was happy that I had been released from my hard work. She told me that she always got news from me, that is, people always came to her and told her how far I had got with the work and that I just had to hold out for so long. She explained to me that there were messengers who did nothing else but carry the news from one sphere to another and let one person know how the other was doing, and that you didn't notice or see anything. Everything was so quiet and so calm. So I was happy and I wanted to know whether I could now do the rest of the work together with my Bridget. The answer was, that's not necessary, because Bridget is already initiated into her work and you have to get some training first. But you also have your free time and then you can be together and talk. As long as you feel compelled to see each other again and again, you should seek each other out and talk to each other. But you will see, soon further and greater interests will arise, and each will do his duty with the greatest strength and commitment. And so it was. At first I had just been given the modest job, And I was happy, because life was completely different here. I had the feeling that you had much more free time. The signal to stop working came much more often. You then left the room and went outside, into a garden, or you went into a beautiful house. You could talk, you sang together, you prayed together. It had become a shared tour. And so I felt so happy. I had shown great enthusiasm in everything. Now I realized, you only make progress if you are of good will, if you follow everything you are told. I had worked in these workshops for a while, and then they said to me, now you have to go to school. You have to be taught something more than just working in the world beyond. There are still many things you have to know. Of course there were many, many things, and once again a whole new world opened up to me, and once again I was able to experience new, more beautiful things, until I was given the task of traveling across the river by boat and I experienced many wonderful things on this journey. Of course my work is not always traveling back and forth, I also have my free time. I can go hiking, I can pursue my favorite activities, my pleasures, I can meet up with friends, we can sing together, we can pray together, because we are only of one mind, to get closer to God, ever higher up. Because we know, the place that has been assigned to us is by no means the most beautiful place. So one job is followed by another, one that is ever more beautiful, ever more dignified, one that gives us even more joy. And when you leave a job that you enjoyed and are introduced to a new one, you are happy that you have the ability and the talent to do something else. But what is important in the spiritual world and is given great importance is this great instruction that must be given to all spirits, instruction about God's order, about God's will and about what Christ means, what task he has fulfilled, who he is. When you are in the process of ascension, you can then be led to the festivals. You experience something in a heavenly way that is denied to you if you do your work at dusk. Now many questions will certainly have arisen in you and our brother Joseph will explain them to you. But I would like to tell you one more thing. I had a gracious time in purification. God meant well for me. I had to work. That was the purification for me. And that probably happened through the goodness and the grace of God. So, dear brothers and sisters, I have given you an insight into my personal life. It is only a tiny, small excerpt of everything that one has seen and experienced. There would not be enough time to go into details and tell you about the experiences, the encounters, the visits one had when one was working in the workshops, the ways in which one was led to new inspiration. There would be so much to talk about. When one is in unity with one another, when everyone is one and pursues one goal, only wants to achieve the highest and only the best, for oneself and for others, for God, then one is carried by a wonderful power, a power that makes one blissful and happy. And this happiness and this bliss can be acquired by man in his earthly life. He can do that if he is clever. So I say goodbye to you. May God bless you all. God bless you. Joseph, God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, I am ready to answer some questions. Dear friend Joseph, I noticed how skillfully and well this Wenzel spoke through the medium. One gets the impression that it is not the first time that he has spoken to people. Joseph, well, spirits that have gone through a certain development have the opportunity to get close to people and inspire and guide them. And so they also learn through the guidance of people. Thank you, dear friend. Dear Joseph, I imagine that Wenzel, like everyone who comes to the spiritual world, was amazed at the great similarity to the earthly conditions that he encountered in the soul world. I wonder how the spiritual substance behaves, similar to our matter, when you work with it. Joseph, yes, of course that is completely inexplicable in your terms. It is a fine, fine mass, it is a fine, fine material, a material that is flexible, that can be broken, that can be shaped, depending on the material. There are different materials that can be processed in one way or another. Let's say wood is processed different from any other material, in the true sense of the word. Each one is processed in its own way. So the wood that we have with us also grows in the spiritual world? Joseph, yes. because you can't have anything if the core of it isn't present in the spiritual world.